What are dimes, John?
Dimes. That's a toll road in Blazing Saddles.
Oh, very funny.
See? Always kind of go for the tie-in.
I was expecting Soul Survivors and Expressway to Your Heart, but that's okay.
No, what? That's not a toll road.
Oh, that's true. That was the Schuylkill Expressway, which was free.
Oh, yes, man, true. The Schuylkill Expressway. My goodness.
Lost Jock in Philly.
Oh, my God. Yeah, let's take the Conshohocken exit, everybody.
That's where my brother lives.
Right now, still?
Yeah, Conshohocken.
This is contributing editor Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man, an Emmy Award-winning broadcaster, and one of America's top consumer experts. He's been protecting consumers for over 40 years. Having covered the consumer beat for CBS News, The Today Show, NBCNews.com, you can find him on Facebook, Twitter, and at ConsumerMan.com. Before we get into this article about fraud alerts, scammers are sending bogus text messages to collect unpaid tolls. That's why we went with the Blazing Saddles toll bit.
Yep.
I have to thank you because Nexstar Media requires, this time of year, all employees to take a, well, I guess you would call it a cyber course or a cyber test or a cyber lesson.
Sure. We used to have those at my company. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I successfully completed Phishing in Your Inbox was the name of the thing. I want to tell you right now, I got 100%.
And you
want to know why? Because everything I knew about this, you had already informed me about.
Oh, and that's so sweet.
And I'm like, that's Herb. So there you go. Pay attention, everyone.
I was one of the first to do the phishing story on network television. I was on the Today Show, and it was so funny because it was the first time anyone had ever heard the term, and there were only two requirements. The producer said, you have to put the word up on the screen and spell it for people, because no one had heard the word phishing spelled with a PH, and you have to have a laptop that is actually connected to the internet live on the set of the Today Show, because that's how technology was. What, Herb can show us the computer live on TV now? That's when I did the first phishing story like 20 gazillion years ago.
So. Wow. Well, I see a word. I don't want to get you off your game here, but I see a word in this fraud alert scammers sending bogus text messages to collect unpaid tolls.
Yep.
There's a word schmishing. S-M-I-S-H-I-N-G. I was not aware of that word.
Yes, there's smishing, there's vishing, and there's phishing. So phishing is what started it out, phony emails.
Yeah.
Vishing is spam, bogus voicemails, and smishing is bogus text messages, which comes in the combination of SMS, which is short message service, is what a text message is, and phishing. So it becomes smishing. Use that at your next cocktail party, Mr. Lanebecker.
Yeah,
You'll be there.
No kidding. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, the guy was smishing. I couldn't get next to him. So, fill us in on these scam-a-lama ding-dongs trying to get bogus text messages to collect unpaid tolls.
Well, we've talked a lot on your show about bogus text messages and how they try to get you to act real quickly. And this was just totally novel. I'd seen all kinds of text messages. You know, your Apple account has just been charged. Your credit card is being used, et cetera. But this is a brand new one. It has the name of your tolling service. So it would say Illinois Toll Services on yours, John. We've noticed an outstanding toll amount of $11.69 or $12.52. It's usually a small amount like that on your record. But then it says to avoid a late fee of $50, visit this web address to settle your balance. So the $50 is that pressure that, oh my goodness, I don't want to get that $50 late fee on my account, so I should click this link. Please don't click the link, because what is happening is the scammers are sending these out all across the country. They started in just a couple of states back east, and now they're all over the country, even in some places where there aren't toll roads, and even they're sending them out. They're not always changing the link, so I've seen links to like Washington State where it says SunPass Toll Services, which is the name of the service that does it in Florida. so they're getting a little sloppy with the links we're doing. But if you were to click the link, it would take you to a lookalike, a bogus spoofed website that would look like a toll agency website that you might be familiar with, and it's going to try to get your personal information and your money so they can use it for identity theft or just to steal your money. This, as I said, has been happening since about mid-March, early March it got reported, and Checkbook checked with the Internet Crime Complaint Center. It's called IC3, where they get a lot of these things. It was about 2,000 complaints they had received in mid-April, and I bugged them to get the latest figures. And as of last week, they had gotten 5,800. So between mid-April and the end of May, it jumped from 2,000 to 5,800. So clearly this is taking part all over the country, and we want to make sure everybody knows about it.
This may have absolutely no relationship to it at all, because the scammers don't, from what the way you're describing them, they don't sound like they're the most intelligent people on earth. But right. Like I have my toll payments connected automatically to a credit card.
Right. So that's fine.
I would not have an outstanding balance that needed to be collected, because it would have already been taken. It would already been put on my credit card if it was time to like replenish the money for it.
Yes. I checked. Basically, the rule is that toll services across the country will never text message anybody about anything. So if you get a text message, you can assume it's bogus from there. Some of them actually do send out email alerts. I know mine does here in Washington State and a number of other states. They could send you an email if your balance is getting really low and maybe your credit card expiration dates needs to be updated or something like that. Or they may just send you out a notice, says, check your account. It's the end of the month. Make sure everything's okay. But they'll never text mess you with a warning thing like this. And the best way always, as you know, John, is to go right to your account and make, if you think there's a problem or just want to check every month, I just check my toll account to make sure that the tolls that I actually use are no bogus tolls on there. But I get on myself. I log on to the website, Washington Good to Go, and check it out. That's the way to do it, not with some bogus. And we've now heard that in some states, they are now starting to send emails and also do robocalls that are doing the exact same thing. So you know if this is going to work, that they're going to try to notify people in various ways. Just don't do it. Don't deal with that. If you think there's a problem, go to the website directly and check that out.
I have something. Wait a minute. I'm trying to find it. Yes. I received a message from someone saying that the USPS package has arrived at the warehouse and cannot be delivered due to incomplete address information. Please confirm your address in the link within 12 hours. And
please don't.
Absolutely not. It's from FabianCZ009 at hotmail.com.
Yep. And see, remember we talked about that? It's the first thing to look is look at, because they hijack somebody's email account.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that's not always guaranteed, because they can spoof email addresses. But when you get something that's supposedly from the U.S. Postal Service and it says, John Landecker is records truly is my middle name.com, you know that it's somebody stole somebody's web address and you're not. So, yeah, that's good for you. Yay, you passed the test again.
Well, I haven't been paying attention. So what can we do about these things? Do we report it? To protect ourselves from the scammers and their bogus text messages?
Don't fall for it, as we just said. But if you get it, you could send it to the FBI. That's IC3.gov. That's the Internet Crime Bureau, or the Federal Trade Commission, or fraud.org, which was the nonprofit that tipped us off to it. Fraud.org shares that information with about 100 or more law enforcement agencies throughout North America. And that's how they sort of keep track of what's going on and try to go after these people if they possibly can. Many times they're outside the country and it's really hard to get to them. But it's a good idea to report that. And just if for some reason you fell for it, then you need to change a password. If there's some password associated with your account that you gave out, and you need to change the credit card if you gave them a credit card number, and I hope you didn't.
No.
If you do that, then you need to protect yourself by doing those two things as well. You can read more about this and see examples of it. My stories on checkbook.org. I have a couple of the screenshots of exactly what these look like.
Excellent. And, it's my little way of transitioning into your next topic, which is a ban on medical debt from credit reports. What a great idea that is.
Well, it's proposed. It's a rule that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has proposed.
Right.
You and I have spoken about this before, what a serious problem it is with people with medical debt in this country, especially since the pandemic. Mm. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau came out with a report back in March of 2022, and they estimated that Americans had about $88 billion in medical bills on their credit reports. And after that came out, to their credit, the three nationwide credit reporting companies, there's a little pun there, Experian, Equifax, and Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion announced that they were no longer going to report certain medical bills and collections. They were going to increase the time before a medical bill and collections could appear on a credit report from 180 days to 1 year. That was a big help. And they would stop reporting medical bills that had been in collections but were resolved. Big help. And third, they would remove medical bills below $500. Really good step. But the CFPB went back and looked at it again, and they figured that at least 15 million Americans still have about $49 billion in outstanding medical bills and collections on their credit files, which are doing a whole lot of damage to them because, as we've spoken about many times before, that credit report can keep you from getting a loan, keep you from making you do a bigger deposit if you take out a utility, keep you from renting an apartment, all kinds of bad things. So the CFPB wants to go one step further and just finally keep this medical debt from hurting so many millions of people. So the proposal they issued yesterday, 2 days ago, was that if this rule were to take effect, that medical debt would be removed from credit reports. Most credit reports would not be allowed to have medical debt listed anymore. And therefore, it wouldn't be there for debt collectors to find and be able to pressure people into paying bills for debt they may not owe. That's the big difference, as you and I discussed last time. We talked about this, I think, a year ago, between medical debt and other debt. You know, you have credit card debt. You physically handed over the credit card and bought something that you supposedly were able to pay. Medical debt, you know, you get raised to the hospital with pains in the abdomen, you don't know what's going to cost what you have. You have to get it done. It could be life or death situation. People run up these huge bills that they, you know, it's not like other debt. They didn't go willy-nilly on a spending spree. You know, sometimes the bills are in question. You're waiting for the insurance to pay. It goes on your credit report. There's a lot of other nuances to medical debt that are not in other kind of debt that we have. It's also... The government agency, CFPB, said that it's not predictive, which means, John, that by looking at somebody's medical debt on the file, you cannot help predict whether they're going to pay their bills on time or not, as you can if you look at the other debt that somebody has. That's why they use this debt. The CFPB has clearly stated you can't make lending decisions based on whether somebody has medical debt or not. So it's going to propose this rule. They'll take comments till August. And if it goes through and they put it in effect, it'll come out sometime next year. And then I'll be back with you saying hallelujah. Hallelujah, there's good news for everybody.
You know, medical debt is, and not only that, but the whole business of health care and what it costs in this country is an unbelievably complex mishmash of insurance agencies, coverage, medical billing, whether it's the hospital that's billing you or whether it's the physician who's billing you. And as you mentioned, you know, you don't know going in what it's going to cost because you're just going there because something's wrong.
Yep.
And these, I mean, I've had experience with this. Medical bills can mount up, and there's nothing really that you can do other than not try to receive treatment, which, of course, is something that you should never do. But, you know, I've had times where I'm like, you know, if I follow through on this, I wonder what this is going to cost. Maybe I won't go to the emergency room. Maybe I'll just see what's happening, which is, you know, not a good way to think. But
correct.
I'm thinking that way based on my experiences with the incredible amount of money that comes, you know, and I've got insurance. And still, sure. The amazing amount of money that is racked up, you know, just for one small visit. And, you know, people say, you know, you have to be your own advocate when you go to the medical, when you go to doctors and things. You need to be your own friggin' advocate when it comes to people who want to send you to a collection agency or ding you whatever. I mean, I had an instance where a collection agency called me up and said, you owe $13,000. I said, you're crazy. And I called the hospital. I didn't know anything.
Right.
But, you know, it's you know, you have to watch out, is what I guess I'm saying.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, if a credit company ever calls you out of the blue, your first thing is, I don't know who you are and where you're calling from, but if I really owe you the debt, send it to me in writing and I'll take a look at it, which
is
what they have to do by law if you ask them. Number two, you know, there's also a lot of investigative reports have been done that show that some people have medical bills on their credit reports that's not even theirs. I mean, there's a whole bunch of mistakes and you might not even know it's there. But again, with the whole insurance, the copay,
yes,
and everything
exactly.
else like that. Rather than ignore it, your best bet is to contact the hospital, and most hospitals, and especially nonprofit hospitals, can make some kind of arrangement to, if the bill is justified and you can't afford it, to pay it over time. I had a situation with a family member who did it, and it was an interest-free loan. They set up a long payment period, and it was interest-free, especially if you show you have needs. So don't ignore it. At least talk to the hospital, the billing office, and find out if there's something you can do. But this should help, again, if this were taken off the credit reports, the government estimates that it would result in 22,000 extra mortgages a year being approved because people would have the adequate credit score, and about 20 points the average American would see their points go up 20% of their credit scores if this was taken off. So hopefully this will come about. The credit agencies and stuff said, we're looking at this. We'll decide what our comment's going to be in the future. I contacted them. And one other thing which is really good, it would prohibit lenders from using medical devices as collateral for loans and not allow them to repossess medical devices. Could you imagine if you had a medical debt and they say, we're coming back to get your prosthetic limb because you haven't completely paid? Seriously, they could do that with wheelchairs or medical devices, oxygen stuff. That would make that an illegal practice. Again, you know, God bless the Consumer Financial Protection Agency for trying to protect us from these.
I never imagined that anything like that could ever possibly happen.
Neither did I, but I read their full report. And
those things have been attempted to be repossessed.
I would assume they could take your car. They could take your prosthetic limb, I guess. So if it's collateral, I know.
All right, Herb.
The word obscene comes to mind, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed. So, and unethical and all, and a bunch of other words.
Yeah.
So, Herb, in the time that we have left,
yes,
how can people avail your expertise?
Sure. All of my stories are on checkbook.org. You can also find me on my website, consumerman.com, where if you sign up for my weekly newsletter, you'll find out everything I do, including being on the Landecker Show. And you can write me questions on the email link there, which your listeners do, John. And as I told you, I answer every single one.
Right.
My next Consumerpedia podcast drops tomorrow at consumerpedia.org. It's all about moving scams. And this is moving season. And I bet we'll be talking to you about that maybe next week.
Sounds good to me. Thanks for being with us, Herb.
You're welcome. Be well, John.
You too.